You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You heard me say a bunch of times now over the years, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. I would hope that this recent upending of the quarterback room would prove that that's true yet again. Good morning to you. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into hockey and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. So whereas within the next few days, we're going to be hearing from Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin and the Steelers brass related to their expectations or hopes or even maybe some sliver of their plans for the upcoming NFL draft, every single syllable they speak is going to be parsed. And believe you me, I'm not going to be an exception to that. In fact, there's times when it's been somewhat of a guide. I really feel like they advertised, for example, that they were going to take Najee Harris. But for the most part, yeah, watch what they do. Deontay Johnson was traded, as you know, to the Panthers for a cornerback, Dante Jackson. And that left the wide receiver room, this one, with basically one sure thing. And that, of course, is George Pickens. Yeah, I like Calvin Austin, too, and I hope he does well. I hope they can find a role for him. And I do think it'll involve a role as opposed to just go be a standard wide receiver in this league. But for the most part, man, look around. Look at what's not there. And then, and I did this yesterday as well, look at the list of available free agents. Look who's there. There aren't any wide receivers. They're done. The free agency class at that position is done. Which leads me to believe, without anybody saying it and just watching what it is that they do, that this staff has an even higher than the norm confidence that they can get what they need out of the draft. And you know what? History is on their side, as is the caliber of this class. Everyone's been talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. for years, and they should have. Not just because of his name, because of his pedigree. He's going to be at the top of this class, but he is anything but the end of it. This class, according to most people who are experts in this field, could go 17 deep in the first two rounds. Think about that. And if that sounds outlandish to you, consider that over the last four drafts, there have been 44 total wide receivers taken in the first two rounds, obviously average of 11 per year. In both the 2020 and the 2022 drafts, there were six wide receivers taken in the first round alone, seven taken in the second round, which, as we all know, has been the Steelers' preference, where to find these guys. I have a hard time believing that they won't. It's amazing to me, in fact, that when you get into almost all of the various draft discussions or even the more formal mocks, you never see a wide receiver lined up with the Steelers in the first round. Everybody does it in the second, and then they'll make the argument, the common argument, that, well, if there's so many of them, maybe you can get one in the third, so they'll put one down in the third. I don't know about that. And I'm going to take this further in that the most frequent position assigned to the Steelers in the first round is center. Everyone says, wow, they need a center. Of course they need a center. Yeah, they cut Mason Cole. Again, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. They cut Cole early. They knew they were going for something else at that position. Well, guess what? Something else never came along at that position in free agency either. So these are the two positions, I believe, that we're talking about more than any other, where the Steelers enter in the unusual position of having to address needs. For years and years, Kevin Colbert would say they didn't like to do that, and his actions backed those words. The Steelers would first go and address what they needed or wanted in free agency, even if it was just a plan B type. And then they'd go into the draft feeling like they can just comfortably go into every round and choosing the best possible player. That's not this. So all of this depends, I think, on where the centers line up. If you see Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier as a first-round talent, I'm here to tell you that you're going to end up being in the minority. Doesn't mean that you're wrong. It means that you're in the minority. And I keep saying that you can't force that. If you end up, I don't want to say settling. That sounds disrespectful. If you end up saying, listen, we understand where these centers belong in this class, and we feel that they're second-round talents, then what are you left with to take in the first round? Yeah, right? It just feels like nobody's mentioning this. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't have every ear to every patch of soil. But if I'm sitting there at 20 and I know that there's a zillion wide receivers and there's a zillion of them for a reason, and there's one that I happen to value more than maybe other teams would, heck, I might even trade down and still get my wide receiver and add to my draft capital. When we come back, J1Q. This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. They're located on Federal Street, directly across from PNC Park. Mike has more than 500 beers on tap, including from more than 50 local breweries. Stop in and say hello. Tell Mike we sent you. Mike's Beer Bar. Today's J1Q comes from Michael, who says, DK, what does it mean that Russell Wilson is in pole position? I think it means that QB1 is his job to lose, so his performance and health will dictate when and if Justin Fields gets an opportunity to play. And Michael, I think it's firmer than that. I really do. I'm trying to envision the scenario in which Wilson comes into, I don't know, depending on which level you want to pick from the summer, the OTAs, mini camp, even the main training camp in Latrobe or the preseason games, and just looks so bad. And that's what it would take, by the way, that they'd be considering Fields. That's not a knock on Fields. That's just saying that the commitment And I know, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. But a lot of this has been verbal and very, very visible. The commitment that they've made to Wilson is significant. Don't worry about the money. Don't think about the money in this context. The money isn't going to be why they would or wouldn't invest as much time and energy and really passion, if you think about it, building a whole new offense with Arthur Smith, into this quarterback, that they would just say, let's try the other guy instead. I don't believe in the pole position concept. I think it sounds good. I think it's something that you put forth to Fields out of respect for the fact that he's been out there for 3 years as an NFL starter, and you don't want to just say, hey, you have absolutely no chance here, kid. That wouldn't make sense for anybody, up to and including, since you brought it up, if there's a Wilson injury, and now Fields is going to be, oh, now you need me? Now you think I'm okay? Before you didn't even give me a chance? You see what I'm saying? So I think Tomlin has played this one smartly. I don't think he's handled the quarterback position very well at all in the wake of Ben Roethlisberger's retirement, but I think he's handled it okay here. I would be beyond stunned if there were something based on anything other than injury that would keep Wilson from being this team's starter for the opener and beyond, and really, like, significantly beyond. There's a lot of debate and discussion, I know, that goes on as related to how long of a leash would he get. What if they start out 0-3 or 1-3 or something like that? I just don't see it. You'd have to witness something truly remarkable, and I don't even want to randomly speculate on what that would be, for them to pull the plug on Wilson even a quarter into the season. Look at what they just put up with the last 2 years, and ask yourself, 3 years, and ask yourself, what's the precedent for that? What's the precedent for them being quick with somebody? I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers, and we will do another one of these tomorrow.